Today's shiur is Masechta Chulin Daf Zayin. We will begin on Daf Zayin Amud Aleph, 9 lines from the top. We had learned in the previous shiur that Rebbe taught them that Beis Shan was not part of Eretz Yisrael. Maskel Rabbi Yehuda Breder of Shim Ben Pazi, Miikal Amanda Omer, the Beis Shan Lamed Eretz Yisrael. Is there anybody that holds that Beis Shan is not part of Eretz Yisrael? The Ksiv, doesn't the pasuk say, "V'lo yhorish Menashe es Beis Shan Spnaser, v'es Tanach es Spnaser," that Menashe had not properly inherited Beis Shan and all of its environment. The fact that the Torah has to teach us that Beis Shan was not taken is clearly an indication that Beis Shan is part of Eretz Yisrael. For it would not be part of Eretz Yisrael, and there would be no reason for the pasuk to teach us that it wasn't captured. Says the Gemara, "Ish Tamitze." Obviously, he had forgotten. Hodam Rav Shim ben Eliyakim Shem Rav Blazim of Dos, Shem Rav Shem Rav Blazim of Shemua, Habik Rochim. There are many cities that Kofshim Olim Mitzrayim that were captured by the people, by Yeshua, the people representing the first capture of Eretz Yisrael, Vlo Kofshim Olim Bavel, but were not taken the second time when Ezra brought Klal Yisrael to Eretz Yisrael. For Kosovar, and obviously he is of the opinion, Kedusha Rishayna Kitchel Shata, whatever was captured the first time was only until they went into Golus, like Kitchel Aslava, it did not remain Kadosh. So therefore, since these were areas that were not caught, that were not captured during the time that Ezra brought Klal Yisrael back to Yisrael, the Nicham, and the Gemara continues to suggest, they were deliberately not taken when they came the second time, in order that there should be left over, that it should be, they should give Meiser Oni from these areas when during the Shemitah year. Well, we know during the Shemitah year they're not allowed to work in Eretz Yisrael, but Beis Shan, since it wasn't part of Eretz Yisrael, they could work that area and therefore have that produce available even during the Shemitah year for people, since the properties of Eretz Yisrael were not being worked on. So Al Gemara is clearly of the opinion that Kedush Rishon Kitchel Shat of like Kitchel Asa Lavai, whatever was taken the first time was only the kept, had its Kedusha only until they went into Golus. The Kedusha Shniya was taken by Ezra, Kitchel Shata, the Kitchel Asalavai, remained permanently Kadosh. Beis Shan, given that it wasn't taken the second time, never got the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael. Why did they not take it the second time? So, Pashup Shad in the Gemara is, as we said, they deliberately left it open in order that they should be able to have produce available to poor people during the Shemitah year. Others explain that there were not that many people we know that came to Israel during the time of Ezra, so they didn't want to inhabit the entire land of Israel because it just was too much area for such a small population. So they deliberately left certain areas, Beit Shan included, as an area that they didn't capture. Why is the halacha, the kedusha rishayna kitchel shata, like kitchel aslovay? Why is the first kedusha only a temporary kedusha, whereas the second kedusha is more permanent? So the Rishonim explain, because the first kedusha that they received when Yeshua came was area that was captured, physically captured in battle, and then unfortunately the Nebuchadnezzar came, so his kibush canceled the original kibush of Yeshua. But as we know, when they came to Eretz Yisrael the second time, that didn't come through a kibush. Ezra didn't go to war. He was given permission by Kairish to come to Eretz Yisrael. Since it was not a full-fledged kibush, it was just a piyadibur, so that isn't canceled even though they were driven out into Golos. Along the same lines, says the Rambam, as explained by the Kesef Mishnah, even though, as we're discussing now, Kedusha is Shayna Kitchel Shatav, like Kitchel Asalavai, that is the Kedusha that of Eretz Yisrael that was captured by Yeshua. But, says the Rambam, Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash, that Kedusha remained even after the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash. And along the way we've been explaining, it's very understandable. The first Kedusha, as we said, was attained by Kibush. And then it was cancelled. But the second Kedusha, but the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and the Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash didn't come through Kibush. It came because HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated those areas as the Makom HaShechina. So that never leaves even after the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed. Furthermore, our Gemara clearly indicates that there was a chiyuv of Trumas and Maestris, Matnas Aniyim, from Beit Shan, even if Beit Shan were not to be considered part of Eretz Yisrael, which of course is somewhat difficult to understand, because we know that the areas that are not Eretz Yisrael don't have any mitzvahs to your sports. So there's a machlokes we showed him, it's really connected somewhat to the previous year that we learned. Some explain that lands that are near Eretz Yisrael did have a chiyuv trumas and maaseris, however, lands that were further from Eretz Yisrael did not have ever chiyuv trumas and maaseris. Some say originally even lands that were further from Eretz Yisrael did have a chiyuv of trumas and maaseris, but that chiyuv no longer exists. But clearly, Beit Shan, which is near Eretz Yisrael, it's technically even can be considered part of Eretz Yisrael, is an area that has a chiyuv of trumas and maaseris and shmita midrabanan. And therefore, it was, as we learned, freshly left that way so that all poor people could have a way to survive in the Shemitah year. Interesting, Shailen the Rishonim. What does it mean that Shemitah doesn't apply in Beit Shan? Some Rishonim suggest that there is no Shemitah in Beit Shan. Other Rishonim say that Shemitah does exist, but there's a halacha of Svichim, which we've discussed many times, what grows by itself in the Shemitah year. Is it also Usur? So in Eretz Yisrael proper, Chazal said that Svichim are also outside of Eretz Yisrael, Svichim Amutter, Beit Shan was such an area where Svichim were Mutter. Says the Gemara, Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyahu Rabbi Zeira, for Rameya Ola Ba'amud Ochel. We wanted to say that how do we know that Rameya did not consider Beit Shan Eretz Yisrael, the fact that he ate a leaf, ate a vegetable during, without taking Trumas and Maaseris, but ask the Gemara, all he did was eat a leaf, which is an Achilas Arai, and we know that Achilas Arai, there's no Chi of Trumas and Maaseris. So how do we have a Raya that Beit Shan is not at Yisrael just because he ate a vegetable? Answers the Gemara, Amalei Maguda Achlei. He took that vegetable out of a bundle. And the Mishnah teaches us, Yer haneged mishiyagid. As we know, for fruits or vegetables to have a chiv deraisa and trumas and maestris, they have to be edible. And besides that they have to be edible, they have to have completion of their processing. And vegetables, once they are put into a bundle, it's considered that they were completely processed. So the Gemara is saying that since they saw him taking this vegetable out of the bundle, so had a chiyuv trumas and maaseris midaraisa, that even if you eat it and achilas arai, it would still be chayiv in trumas and maaseris. Of course, the Mefarshim point out it's not chas v'sham to say that he ate a whole bundle, because that isn't an appropriate way of eating. He pulled the vegetable out of the bundle. Ask the Gemara v'dimala avadatei. Again, how are we proving from where Rameya eating vegetables from Beit Shan that Beit Shan is not considered part of Eretz Yisrael? Maybe he just didn't pay attention. Maybe he made a mistake. Answers the Gemara, as it's been saying so many times. Hashto, behemta shel tzaddikim, en HaKadosh Baruch Hu maybe takol al yodam. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is careful that makes sure that the animals of tzaddikim don't eat something they're not supposed to. Tzaddikim atzmam, like Koshke. Ask the Gemara still, it persists. How do we have a raya from Rameyaz eating this vegetable? The Beit Shan is not at Yisrael. But Dima Isalei Mamakamakar. Maybe he took Meiser for these produce from a different place. And therefore he was able to eat these vegetables, with having in mind that the Trumas and Meisers should be from vegetables that are somewhere else. Answers the Gemara. The law is the Trumas and Meisers, if I'm taking from one barrel on another barrel, which is 100% halachically permissible, but they both have to be near each other. Here, the two barrels were near each other, we're suggesting, and Chaveirim, Talmid HaChama considered Chaveirim, as the Rambam explains, because Chaveirim means a group. When we have a group of Talmid HaChama, their joining together in a group is a real, represents real unity. And since it represents a real unity, that's why they're called Chaveirim. They won't take Shloim Ramukhav. Not from one barrel to another barrel when the two barrels are not near each other. Machloikas Rishonim, why Shloim Ramukhav is awesome. Rashi says, it's a Rabbanim. Because if I'm eating fruit or vegetables, produce, on the assumption that I'm taking the Trumas and Maisis on the fruit and vegetables that are in my home, and maybe they aren't there anymore, and it turns out that I'm eating Trumas and Maisis without a heter. Tysus disagrees with Rashi, because Tysus says there is no reason to have a concern that if I know I have produce at home, there's no reason for me to be concerned that that produce is no longer there. We have a chazaka, and we follow chazaka throughout halacha that those fruits and vegetables are still there. And therefore, Tosfos takes a different approach. He says, "V'harimoisem mimenu." That the Torah, by saying the words "V'harimoisem mimenu," teaches us that the two barrels that we're taking trumas and maisers one from the other have to be near each other. And as the Mefarshim explained, what is the nafkamina between Rashi and Tosfos? According to Tosfos, it's a deraisa. And therefore, if somebody took Truma and Maisa Shloim and Amukav, it would not be valid even b'di'evid. Whereas, according to Rashi, since it's only Xeira the Rabbanon, if somebody did it b'di'evid, perhaps it would be effective. But then there's another nafkamina. Let's say we have the two barrels near each other, but the person isn't near the two barrels. So according to Tosfos, as long as all the fruit from which Trumas and Maisas are being taken are near each other, it's min Amukav. According to Rashi, that the concern is that maybe some of that produce that I assume is there is really not there. So let's say the food is near each other, but I'm not near the food. According to Rashi, it still would not be effective for taking Trumas, and it would not be effective for taking Trumas and Maisus. The Dilma asked the Gemara, Nasa ena b'tzad zeh, v'ocha b'tzad echer, asked the Gemara, perhaps what he did was, he had this entire bunch of vegetables, and he ate part of it, and he had in mind that the rest of it should be Trumas and Maisers. Isn't that an effective way of taking Trumas and Maisers? Answers the Gemara, Amalei. Chazei ma gavrei kamaserelei. Let's see, who's the person that's saying that this is what Rameya ate without taking Trumas and Maisers? It's Rabbi Yeshua ben Zeirus. Rabbi Yeshua would have never said it if it weren't effective. So from here we see that you could take Trumas and Maisers even without a Maisa Afrosha, just with Machshava. But there's a Machloikas Rishonim if such an act of taking Trumas and Maisers is always effective. Some Rishonim say it is. And some Rishonim say it's only effective by a situation where there's a chiv Trumas and Maisus Midrabbanan, which is very understandable with our Gemara, because most Rishonim hold that the chiv of taking Trumas and Maisus by vegetables is only Drabbanan. By the Raisa, this wouldn't be effective. In fact, when Kiva Eger and the Tshuva discusses, how can one suggest that this is a legitimate way of taking Trumas and Maisus? The halacha is that one is only allowed to make a bracha when he's doing an act. When he's not doing an act, a bracha isn't made. It remains in the category of dvarim shebelev enim dvarim, and therefore a bracha ought not to be made. So ask Rav Eger, if somebody's taking off trumas and maisers, where a mice were only with a machshava, how could he make the bracha for being mafresh trumas and maisers? So if we'll say that it's only by Drabbanan that this is effective, this question is not such a strong question. But according to the opinion of the Rishonim, that it's even effective, this way of taking Trumas and Maestras, where there's a Chiv Daraisa to take Trumas and Maestras, so how could Bracha be made? So the Kivager answers that even though right now there is no act, but ultimately, even if a person is taking off the Trumas and Maestras only b'machshava, ultimately he's going to have to give those Trumas and Maestras to the Kohen and the Levi. That is already considered an act now, and therefore a bracha may be made. So in the shiurim that we've been learning over the last couple of shiurim, the Gemara keeps on referring that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is careful not to bring a takala to the behemtom shatzadikim. Ask the Gemara, what is this all about? My behemtom shatzadikim. What does it mean that a Kadosh Baruch Hu is careful that even the behemah of tzadikim should not do something wrong? Says the Gemara, Pinchas ben Yair have a ka'azl opinion shvuyim. Pinchas ben Yair was walking to do the mitzvah pinyin shvuyim. Pagibay b'gini nara. He came to the river Ginoi. Amalei, so he said to the river, Ginoi chalikli mimach, split the everbach, in order that I should be able to go by. Amalei, so the river said to him, and Tosfos right away points out, how is it possible that a river should speak? So Tosfos says, either was the Tsar of the river, the master of the river, the Malach in charge of the river in the Olam HaEmes, or Tosfos suggests that Pinchas ben Yair told the river to split. The river didn't split. So he recognized that there must be some reason. So imagine this was what was the reasoning of the river. Amalei, after Hoylech Lasis with Tzoyncha, you're going to do the will of your master. I'm doing the will of my master. The river flowing is the Ritzayin Hashem. And in fact, the Mefarshim point out from here we see that Teva, well, Reb Tzadok explains this way, that what we consider Teva is really the Ratzon Hashem. We don't have to have Nisim to see the Ratzon Hashem. At the Sofik Oysa, Sofik Yat Oysa. It's not quite certain that you will be successful. Ani, Avadi Oysa. I'm certainly successful. And as the Mefarshim point out, what he meant was like this. The real mitzvah is the Hishtadlis, trying to do the mitzvah. So the river was saying to Pinchas ben Yair, you are trying to do the mitzvah. The fact that, and in that way we're both equal. The fact is, however, that you may not necessarily succeed in accomplishing what you want to accomplish. And I am certainly accomplishing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants that I should constantly flow. Amalei, so Reb Pinchas ben Yair said back to the river, Imiyat Echoylik, if you do not split, Gazreni Lechesh Loyamak Bachmayim Lo'ilam, I will decree that you should never go again. Cholakalei, so at that point, he split. So Mefarshim point out, the Chidah says, that why did the river agree? Because just like says the Chidah, we have a concept that we're allowed to be Mechal Shabbos to somebody who's ill. Because the concept is, Chalal Alav Shabbos Achas, be Mechal one Shabbos Kedei Shishmer Shabbos Harbe, in order that many Shabbos should be fulfilled. Here too, the river said, I'll split this time, and after I split, I'll be able to go back, versus if Pinchas ben Yair makes this zero, I'll never be able to flow again. Furthermore, the Mefarshim tried to explain why indeed Reb Pinchas ben Yair was correct and the river was wrong, and the river had to split for Reb Pinchas ben Yair. So one shot that I saw is, because what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Avodah, the work that HaKadosh Baruch Hu appreciates that a person does, is when it comes from Bechira. A person does mitzvahs of Bechira from free choice. A river is obligated. That's the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu set up the world. And to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, an avoided that comes from Bechira, from free choice, is so much more valuable than an avoided that comes from, it has to be that way. Rav Shach, I saw, has a different approach. Rav Shach says that everything HaKadosh Baruch Hu created in this world, he created on behalf of man. So if HaKadosh Baruch Hu created a river flowing. It's only in order, if Kadosh Baruch Hu created rivers, it's only to help us serve Hashem. And if here his avodas Hashem will be accomplished better by Moshe, by the river being split, then the river ought to split. Says the Gemara, Havahu Gavra, there was another individual, Davidari Chiti Lepescha, that was carrying wheat to make matzah for Pesach. Amalek, so he said to him, Chaloit Nami Lahai, split on behalf of this individual as well. The mitzvah Osik, because he's doing a mitzvah, he's taking the wheat. Rashi says he's taking the wheat to be ground for flour for matzah. And Rashi says that the mitzvah of Shemartim as a matzah starts from grinding. Other Rishonim say that the mitzvah of Shemartim as a matzah starts from the tzira, from the cutting. So Chalaklai, the river split on his behalf. Here we see, explained the Mepharshim, how not only is doing a mitzvah considered a mitzvah, but the preparation to doing a mitzvah is also considered a mitzvah. And therefore this individual who was preparing to do a mitzvah was somebody that the river should split for. And in fact, I saw that the Pais can say, based on this Gemara, that if somebody is walking to shul carrying talis and tefillin, one has to show him respect. Because even though he's not quite now doing a mitzvah, but he's going to do our mitzvah, our Gemara teaches us, is also considered a mitzvah. Furthermore, Davni Nezer, based on this Gemara, teaches us that one is, from here we see, that one is supposed to participate, actually physically participate, in the baking of the matzahs. And what happened here was that he actually participated in grinding and cutting the wheat in order to do the mitzvah matzah. Rabbi Nezer in that letter discusses a very controversial issue. He discusses there the question of the kashrus of machine matzahs. And in that, and he points out that perhaps machine matzahs are preferable, hand matzahs are preferable to machine matzahs, because he says when you bake hand matzahs, you have to physically participate in the baking of the matzah, whereas by machine matzah, you don't physically participate in as much in the baking of the matzah. Says the Gemara, Hava Hutai the Lava Badayu, there was this Arab merchant that was traveling with them as well. Amalei, Chalek Nami Lahai, split for this person as well. The Leilema, in order that people shouldn't say, Kach Oysen Lebeleviya, that the river only splits for Klai Yisrael, but not for the people that join along with us. Chalaklai. So the river split as well for that Arab. Amalei, Rabbi Yosef. So Rabbi Yosef made the following observation. Kamim Nafesh Gavra, how great Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yoan must be. He's greater than Moshe Rishit and Riven, greater than Moshe 600,000 Jews. Dila Hassam, by the time of Moshe Rabbeinu Chad Zimna, the river only split once. The Hacha, and here, Plus Zimna, it split three times. Says the Gemara, V'dilma Hacha Nami Chad Zimna, here perhaps as well, it only split once. Ella, says the Gemara, he isn't greater than Moshe Rabbeinu, he's equal to Moshe Rishit and Rabban, he's equal, just like the river split by Moshe Rabbeinu, it's split here as well. Although the Torah Chaim points out that even though the river only split once, it did split a little more each time. When Repent Spaniard walked by, he walked with water up to his neck. When the person with the flower walked by, so we have to make sure that the flour doesn't get wet, it doesn't become chumstick. So it had it split a little further down. When the Arab who was carrying a lot of merchandise walked by, it had it split even deeper, and even though it was all one time, it kept on splitting deeper and deeper. Dar Chaim HaKadosh and Parshas Peshalach points out. He says that the Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu came to the Yam Suf to split, the Yam said to Moshe Rabbeinu, I don't have to split for you, because I was created on the third day of Bryas Ha'olam, and you were created on the sixth day. The person was created on the sixth day of Bryas Ha'olam, and therefore I don't have to split for you. So the Medrash says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu grabbed Moshe Rabbeinu on the right side, and that's how the river split. So Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks, why do we find in our Gemara, seemingly, that the river split so so much easier on behalf of Rebbe Espinyar than it split on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu. So he explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he created the world, it's along the lines that we spoke about earlier in Ashir, Tanai Hisna HaKadosh Baruch Hu Masa Bereshis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it Tanai with the world that it will be subject to the Loim Dei HaTorah, to those that learn Torah. So Rebbe Espinyar was clearly a Talmud Chacham, and therefore the river split on his behalf, Pinchas Ben Yor, the great Talmud Chacham. However, when Moshe Rabbeinu came to Yam Suf, it was before Klal Yisrael received the Torah. At that time, the river said that I don't have to split on your behalf. What did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had Moshe walk on the right, on his right side. We know the Pasuk says, Viminoi Eish Dos Lomoi. Moshe Rabbeinu received the Torah from the right hand of Hashem, and therefore he said that ultimately Klal Yisrael will be receiving the Torah, and since ultimately Klal Yisrael will be receiving the Torah, the river should split for them, the Yam Suf should split for them now already. Why? Because although your contention, they were saying to the river, is correct, that you were created on the third day of Bria Ha'olam, and the person was created on the sixth day, but on the other hand, the Torah was in the world before Bria Ha'olam. We know it was tackled by Raisa Ubora Alma, and therefore the Torah comes before anything else. Furthermore, it's somewhat of a difficult Gemara to understand that Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair, of course, as great as he was, that he should be the one that because of him, the river should split for him so much more or easier than for Moshe Rabbeinu. So Mefarshim explained that we have to look at the words of the Gemara. Amar Rav Yosef, Kama Nafish Gavra. You know why Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair has this ability? He received it from Moshe Rishita Ribbon. And it's explained with a story that the Beis Yosef said about himself. The Beis Yosef said that he was once learning a Mishnah, and he found it very, very difficult to understand the Mishnah. And he spent many days learning the Mishnah until he still couldn't get Pshat. Until, says the Beis Yosef, he had a Maggid, we know, a Malach, who came and taught him Pshat in the Mishnah. Says the Beis Yosef, he then comes to Shul, and in Shul, there was a young boy learning that Mishnah, and the young boy was learning the Mishnah without any problem. So the Beis Yosef felt bad. Here, he couldn't understand the Mishnah until a Malach came and taught him Pshat. And this young boy is able to understand it without any difficulty. So the Malach came back to him and told him, you should not feel bad. Because what's Pshat? Once you opened up and you brought to the world an understanding of this Mishnah, it's easier for everyone else to be able to understand the Mishnah. Same Pshat in our Gemara. Once Moshe Rabbeinu brought into the world the ability for the river to split on behalf of Talmid HaChamim, then the river splits on behalf of Moshe Rabbeinu, splits on behalf of Rebbe Ben Yair. But where did this koyach, where did this ability come to the world? Me, Moshe, from Moshe Rabbeinu. Ekla, whose business of the Gemara continues, Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair comes to a certain hotel, Ramalei Sar L'Chamri, and they give barley to his donkey to eat, Loyacha, and the donkey refuses to eat. Cheftinus, they thought that maybe the donkey wasn't eating it because it wasn't clean, Loyacha. The donkey still refused to eat it. So Nakrinu, they cleaned the barley manually, again to make sure that it was perfectly clean. And still, Loyachol, he's not eating from the barley. Amalahu, so Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair said to them, Dimaloy Ma'asra, perhaps you haven't taken off Meiser on behalf of this, from this produce. Yisrinu, when they took off the Meiser for Ochal, that's when the donkey ate from it. Amar, so Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair commented, Aniyazu, this lowly donkey, Halechas Lassus Tzoy Kona, was going to do the will of Hashem, v'atem machilon ha'setfolim, and you want to give to eat it tevel, of course this animal would never eat tevel. Mefarshim explained that since it was the animal of a tzaddik, the animal of a tzaddik recognizes that it wasn't, that's not supposed to eat tevel. Of course, the Mefarshim point out that the way the Mefarshim explained the Gemara was that Reb Pinchas ben Yair must have been only going to the hotel of Chaverim. He wouldn't have gone anywhere else. And Reb Pinchas ben Yair assumed that they were giving to him produce that was mutter. And the Gemara now explains, so how did this mistake happen? Ask the Gemara, was this produce, mechuyev and tremus and maisers? But tonight, have we not learned in a Mishnah, halakech was zera l'behema, if somebody buys produce to use for planting or to feed animals, or kemach l'iris, or he buys it to work with on leather, the shem l'ner, or oil for a lamp, or the shem l'asaf l'asakelim, or oil to grease utensils, potam adamai. So indeed, the animal wasn't, this produce wasn't mechuyev in taking off trumas and maisris. Answers the Gemara, Hasama et nala, have we not learnt regarding this din? Amar Rabbi Yochanan, when is this din applicable? Lo yishanu ela shalachim etchilu behema. Only when this produce was bought originally on behalf of animal food. Av lachim etchilu adam. If it was bought originally for human consumption, v'nimach aleihem behema, and then afterwards they decided to use it for animal feed, chayv la'asa. But Tanya, and indeed that is what we learned in the Braisa, halakei peres min hashuk l'chila, if produce was bought on behalf of eating, v'nimach aleihem behema, and then they started to use it for animal feed, harei zelitei, it should not be given loyal behemtoi, loyal fnei behemus b'chaveroi, it shouldn't be given to any animal to eat, elam kain, iser, unless maisa was taken off from it. And therefore, here, where they thought that they were buying it for, that was the mistake that was made. Tosfos points out that the Gemara Masechet Shkolim has an entire different version of this Gemara. In fact, there's a little different version of exactly what happened. The version is that the animal was stolen, and then the animal was refusing to eat by the individuals who had stolen it, and they were concerned it would die, and they would just have a problem with the carcass, and they returned it back. And the reason the Gemara says that the animal refused to eat it was that even though technically it was allowed to be eaten, the animal didn't eat because the animal was machmer in itself. Furthermore, and the Mefarshim point out that here it seems that the animal for itself realized that it's not supposed to eat. But the Gemara, the Pasuk says that Avram Avinu's Gemalim, the Pasuk says, Yavo Yish Abesa, B'yifatach HaGemalim, that the animals have to be muzzled. So Farshim asks, why did the animals have to be muzzled? Weren't the animals of Avram Avinu the same as these animals, that they should be able to understand that they're not supposed to eat what's not theirs? So the Ramban, because of this question, says that V'yifatach doesn't mean that they were muzzled. V'yifatach means that they were all tied together. Another pshat that the Mefarshim point out is that only the animal that's used as the tzaddik's person, animal, has this madrega, not all the other animals. Others say that the animals, that indeed by Avram Avinu, the animals would not have eaten what wasn't theirs, even if they weren't muzzled. But we know that the halacha is that a person's supposed to do what he's supposed to do. And the right thing to do is to muzzle the animals, even if the animals would not have eaten anyway. Shami Rebbe. So Rebbe heard that Pinchas ben Yair was passing through Nafak Lape, and he went out to greet Reb Pinchas ben Yair, Amalek, and he asked him, "Ritzoncha soiretzli, perhaps you can come eat by me." Amalek hein. So Reb Pinchas ben Yair agreed, and tzav upanav shel Rebbe. So Rebbe was very happy, because as we're going to see, it was the custom are a Pinchas Ben Yair not to eat by other, normally not to eat by other people. Amalek, so Pinchas Ben Yair said to him, don't think that I made a haneder, that I'm not allowed to have hanor from any Jew. Rather, Yisrael kedoshim heim, Klai Yisrael are kedoshim. Yesh roitz of the Engel, there are people that have the ability to give tzedakah, but they don't have the means. There are people, the people that have the means, veina roitza, that don't want to give. And therefore, I don't want to eat by such people, because as the pasuk says, al tilchem es lechem ra ayin, v'altisavu to meisav, don't eat the bread of a miser, don't want his food, ki kemoi v'sar b'nafshoi kein hu, he's displeased by serving you, achel v'shasei yoy malach, he's going to invite you for libay bal imach, but he really doesn't mean it. So that's why I normally don't eat by other people. However, by you, says Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair regarding Rebbe, v'at the rights of Yeshlach, you're certainly an individual that this Torah v'gedul b'makom echad, and you want to give tzedakah and you have the ability. However, says Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, mi'o hashta m'sarivna, now I have to refuse you, the remils the mitzvah katarachna, as we learned in Amar Aleph, I'm on the way to do the mitzvah pidyon shvuyim. However, ki adrana, when I'm going to come back, asina alil gabach, I will come back to you. So Farshim, starting with Tosfos, ask why these people called kedoshim if they don't give tzedakah so willingly. So Tosfos seems to say that it's only because they have the midas hakedusha in them that even though they don't want to give, they still give. Where does that emanate from? It emanates from the midas kedusha, the midas habusha that exists by Klal Yisrael. The Mashal takes a very different approach. The Mashal's approach is that you're not supposed to eat from such people. And the word kedoshim here is considered like hegdish. Hegdish, we know we're not allowed to benefit from, and that's why this food is considered hegdish, because you're not allowed to benefit from this food. I saw the Mefarshim explain that why is the word kedoshim, the Lashon Rabin, used here. So the Mefarshim say that from every mitzvah that a person does, a malach is created. When a person does a mitzvah with the right intention, when he has the right machshava, he doesn't have the right ma'isa, one type of malach is created. When he does a mitzvah with the right ma'isa and the wrong machshava, then a different malach is created. When you combine these two individuals, the person has the right intention but doesn't fulfill the mitzvah, with the person who fulfills the mitzvah but doesn't have the right intention, then you have kedoshim, you have from the combination of the two of them a full-fledged malach. Says the Gemara. Kiyasa, as the Pinchas Ben Yair is coming back, Isrami. So he came to the home of Rebbe, as he said he would. Oba hu pescha, and he entered through the door that were kaim by kedunisa chavarta, where there were white mules. Oma malach hamavus v'deisha shozeh v'ni esratzloi. As the Farshim explained, it's clear now, Gemara, the white mules are somewhat dangerous. And Rebbe had once received the white mules from the king, with whom he had a close association, as a gift. And therefore, he had to keep them in his home. And when a Shemayim came out, that Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair should walk in specifically through that entrance where those mules were. And he said, I can't come into a home with these types of, with these animals. Shomer Rebbe Nafaklate. Rebbe heard what happened, and he went out to Rabbi Pinchas Ben Yair, and Amaleni said to him, Mizavilhu, I'll sell these animals. Amalei, lest they evil, I see the mechshul. You can't sell them because you're not allowed to let somebody else have them. And as Mefarshim say, they can't be sold to a guy either, because the halacha is that ein meicher behem gasel akum mefkinen elu. So he said, I'll be mafkinen. So Rabbi said, the Pinchas Ben Yair said, that's even worse. Mafshas azeka, they'll be able to go wild and do damage. Akinen elu. I'll take off their hooves. He said that isn't correct either, because that would involve Tzar Bal Chaim. And as the Achronim point out, it really wasn't that the animals were that dangerous, but according to Pinchas Ben Yair, he considered them dangerous. And therefore, if they were indeed dangerous, there would be no issur to take off their hoofs. Because anything done to an animal, the Har Tzvi discusses this, because it's dangerous or for human need, that's why he says you're allowed to pluck the feathers from a bird for pillows and blankets, does not involve an issue of Tzar Bal Chayim. Here, it's only Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, says the Har Tzvi, who considered them dangerous, and therefore he said there that would remain an issue of Tzar Bal Chayim. Interesting question amongst the Paiskim, is there Tzar Bal Chayim only by animals, or does the Issur of Tzar Bal Chayim even apply by human beings as well? The Sefer Chassidim clearly indicates that it applies by humans as well. Ketlina Luhu, so Rebbe said, I'll kill them. Ika Bal Tashkas, so he said, that's certainly not acceptable because you're going to be doing Bal Tashkas. Points out to Nida Behuda that our Gemara says that there's only concern about Tashkas. But the Gemara doesn't say this Tzar Bal Chayim by killing an animal. Points out another view that from here it seems that there is no Isser of Tzar Bal Chayim by killing an animal. And in fact, another view that says it when he was asked a Shaila if a Jew is allowed to participate in hunting animals. And he says, from our Gemara, and killing them. From here we see that there is no Isser of Tzar Bal Chayim, but the another view that clearly indicates that it's not appropriate behavior for a Jew to participate in hunting. Have a kamatish beituva. Rebbe kept on asking Rebbe Pinchas Ben Yair not to come eat by him. And Govatur Benayu, and a mountain came up. Bachir Rebbe v'omar. So Rebbe cried and he said, Ma b'chayeim kach, if when they're alive, the tzaddikim get their way, which means that we see that the tzaddikim don't, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair never wanted to eat by someone else, and his wish was fulfilled, then Misasun, certainly when they pass away, Alach is kam v'kama. So Farshim say, what is the Torah, what is the mountain? So some say that it represents the Yetzirah, the Gemara calls the Yetzirah a mountain, the Chassam Sofer, and he was saying that it's obviously the Yetzirah that's trying to convince me to have Rav Pinchas Ben Yair, and Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is being protected. Another pshat that I saw is, as we said before, that every time a person does a mitzvah, a malach is created. And here too, there was a malach created from the mitzvah that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair never wanted to eat by someone else. And that malach became the separation between Rav Pinchas Ben Yair and Rebbe. So posh pshat of the Gemara is, as we learned, that the this way Rashi explains that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was able to get his way and then eat in the home of Rebbe. Other Farshim have explained, and this is very much in line the way Tosfos explains the next Gemara, that our Gemara is teaching us that Tzaddikim and Rishayim stay separate. That, and the Gemara is teaching us that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was successful, not that Rebbe Chas V'Shalom was a Rosh in any way, but that he was able to stay away from Rebbe, certainly in the Olam HaEmes, they are able to be separated. Don Rav Bacham Brachanina, Gedol Tzadikim Misasin Yashav Chameyim. Shnei Vayhi Kaim Ish Vini Ros Gdut. They were burying somebody, and then they were about to be attacked. V'yishlichus Ish B'kever Alisha. So they just threw the person into the kever of Alisha. V'yelech V'yiga Ish B'atmos Alisha. V'yichi V'yokum Harago. So the way Rashi explains the Gemara is as follows. That we know that Elisha was able to be Mechayim Mason while he was alive. But as the Pasuk describes, it took great effort. When Elisha was no longer alive, just the person touching him created Tchias Mason. Tosfos has a different approach. Tosfos says that Tzaddikim, when they were alive in this world, do not have necessarily the ability not to come into contact with Rishayim. If a Rosh should stand next to the Tzaddik can't prevent that. But when a Tzaddik is no longer in this world, he has the ability of making sure that Rosh should not come close to him. Omer a papal avaya v'dimel akumer be birkas of Eliyahu. It was only because Eliyahu gave Elisha bracha v'hino pnei shnayim ruchach alai that Elisha will be able to be mechay mesim. Tiksid, as the pasuk said, v'hino pnei shnayim ruchach alai, but not that has anything to do with tzaddik v'chayim v'maisam. Omer ihachi, if it was because of the bracha that Eliyahu gave Elisha that he will be able to be mechay mesim one more individual. So why did the Brisa say, Hanatanya, a raglav amat, he got up, he didn't go home. If it was because of Eliyahu's bracha, he should have had a full-fledged tchis amesim. It must be that he didn't have a full-fledged tchis amesim. It was only gedol, because of gedolim tzadikim v'chayeyem, b'maisim yoyse b'mechayeyem. El v'mayakayim, how was this bracha of Eliyahu fulfilled? Answers the Gemara Kedam Rav Yochanan. Sharipa Tzaraas Naman. Elisha was able to cure Naman. Shish Gula Kameis from a Tzaraas, which Tzaraas is equal to death. Shinema Alno Si Kameis when Miriam became Mitzaraas. Amar Rav Yishuba Levi. Lom Nikr Shem Yemim. Why are these mules called Yemim? Shemos Metalot Lebris. They cause fear to people. Dar Rokhanina. Miyamai Lashlani. Rokhanina was obviously a doctor. I never found somebody that got cured from the bite of a white mule. Ask the Gemara Chazina the Chayyim. We do see people that survive. So the Gemara Eim of Achiyas, that the wound was healed. Ask the Gemara Chazina the Mitzvah. We see that the wound is healed. Answer the Gemara the Chibron Reishi Karayu Kaminin. A mule with white tip would have white tips on its legs. I never saw that anybody was healed from that wound. The pasuk says, "Ein oid muvado." Amar Chanina v'filuk shofim. Even shofim cannot hurt somebody who lives with a muna. It says the Gemara, "Who itasa?" That become a hadra l'mishkal afro. She was trying to get the dust b'tusa kaidra of Chanina from under the feet of Chanina, because with that she could do kishif on him. Amar Shkuli, he could take it. When mistayim milsach, ein oid muvado. Because the pasuk says. Ain oid muvadon. Ask the Gemara of Amar Rav Yochanan, lom nikra shmak shofin shmachishin famali shamala. That, as the Rivash explains, we see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu does give kishif the ability to change teva. Shani Rav Chiya, the nafesh chusa. So Pash Pshat is that Rav Chiya was a great individual, and since he was a great individual, kishif can't affect him. But we know that the Nefesh HaChayim uses this Gemara to teach us that if a person lives with the words Ein Oid Muvadon, he lives with pure Emunah and Hashem, nothing can happen to him. And that's what the Nefesh Chaim says, that whenever a person is in a dangerous situation, he should just have in mind Ein Oid Muvadon, but he has to really have it in mind sincerely, completely, and he will be safe. Baruch Hanina, Ein Adam Noikl Etzba Mumata, nothing happens to a person in this world, he doesn't even stub his finger, his toe, Elam Kreim Mechrizim Olam Mala, only if Hashem decreed. This is the concept of Hashgacha purpose. Shanaim Hashem Mitzadei Gover Koninu Vadim Ayov Adarka. Everything comes from Hashem. Amar V'loza Dan Nikif, if somebody's toe is stubbed, Meratzi has a kapara, Kedam Oila. However, Amar Rava, the God will Yamin on the right one, or the Nikif Sheni. Before it was healed, the first time it happens again, that really hurts. A third Mavodok Ozil called Var Mitzvah, that's what he has. That brings to him a kapara. Says the Gemara, Amar Rav Arapikos Ben Yor, the Yom of Leibotza Prusa Shein Shaloi, he never ate food that didn't belong to him, as we've been learning in our shir. And from the day he matured, like Nenim Sudas Ovis, he never ate from his father's Suda. What pshat that he never ate from his father's Suda? Some explain that obviously Arapikos Ben Yor's father was also a Rav, who lived, he lived from the Seber, and he was concerned that perhaps the people weren't really supporting his father wholeheartedly, and therefore he refused to eat from his father. But another pshat, which is a fundamental pshat that the Mepharshim says in this entire Gemara, is that the Ramchal and others discussed the concept of Nahama de Ksufa, that what we have in this world from Hashem is we're supposed to actually do mitzvahs, because otherwise it's very embarrassing. Hashem gives us so much, and what do we give him in return? If a person does mitzvahs and learns Torah, then it's not so embarrassing. So that's what the Gemara says. When Rav Pinchas ben Yoel was mature, when Nedim Sudas Aviv, he was careful to avoid Nahamid the Ksufa, he was careful to do mitzvahs and learn Torah, that like that he should be deserving of the great bounty that HaKadosh Baruch Hu bestows upon us.